Chapter 38, Redemption and the Yield. You know, I talk to a lot of people all the time. And in that discussion, you know, there are believers, non-believers, believers of all different, you know, levels of believing, non-believers of all different shapes and sizes, different religions, all kinds of... And it comes down to a lot of disagreement on things that maybe have backup, maybe they don't. It's just a crazy mixed up world out there with all kinds of things that our children are watching, okay? Our children are watching this, you know? But yesterday I found myself in a situation where I was surrounded by a lot of people, you know, a lot of different people. And the overall intention of the crowd was to believe that good was good and bad was bad. However, mistakes are okay. And as the conversation went on, it became that, you know, the Bible was redundant and, you know, good was in the eyes of the, you know, beholder, so to speak. Things got out of hand. And I was able to say, look, those, for me, the Bible, the lessons that I teach, all of the things that I do, they on face value look the same. Redundancy may be in there. But the 2-degree adjustments come from commitment. Commitment for me to the Word. The Word tells me what's going on. And in those 2-degree adjustments of my life, trying to live righteously by the Word as I learn it, I realize it's not redundant at all. Those 2-degree adjustments give me a little sort of a key to the next level of information, a little key that opens another door. There isn't redundancy in here other than the fact God's people keep making mistakes no different than we're making right now in America. Right is wrong and wrong is right. All this crazy stuff that's going on in the book. When I stay to the book, if I keep going 2-degree adjustments in myself, I don't know, as John was talking today, you know, critical profit report, my life at home, my life here, what I do with my kid, what I do, you know, trying to live a little bit better, trying to deal with the church politics and the stuff I work in my own church, as I 2-degree adjust myself, the scripture opens the door. Another little door, another little world revealed to me. You can't get this from my notes. It's in both the notes together. And the podcast, awesome, awesome. If you want to know what I'm talking about, this is my story, yes, but it is so many other stories. At the end of that phone call that I had yesterday, I had a good day. I said in the 2-degree adjustments, more is revealed to me. And that by... Not only this, there was a man on there that is a valued member of the Jewish community and a Torah, amazing man in the understanding of the Torah. And he said the 2-degree thing, he said, I buy it. I buy it. If the scripture works for you in the New Testament, by you changing yourself 2 degrees, it's more is revealed to you. I get it. I got it. And that is what I will teach moving forward in my classes. The 2-degree adjustment of making yourself better, more is revealed to you in the scripture in these 50 chapters. In chapter 36, I said God is a verb. It's the God in the Bible. If you know about the God in the Bible, you know there's a devil. And if you know there's a devil, you and I have to fight that, and we can't do it alone. Let's start chapter 38, Redemption and the Yield, 2023. Why do I do that? 2022, 2023. So I know, duh. Chapter 38, Redemption and the Yield, 2023. Did my business get better? Yes. Did my personal life get better? Yes. While the world talks badly about Christianity, my life is substantially more. The yield of my redemption is a better me. Redemption and the yield, the yield. The yield of my redemption is a better me, not a perfect me by any means, but definitely a more productive work in progress. There is more, an even better answer for you later. Yeah, yeah, an even better. I got an even better answer for you later, so stay with me. What is redemption? Webster's Dictionary 1828 says, repurchase of captured goods or prisoners, the act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession and power of captors by the payment of an equivalent ransom release. Isaiah 44:22, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Oh, come on. That's huge. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, still sinning, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? How much more shenanigans will we miss out on because we have found ourselves in God? We have put ourselves in God. I hope that Romans 5 would, you know, say exactly what happened, you know, like sum it all up for me, you know. But it does. However, I feel pushed to tell you what it means to me. Each day, my life became less encumbered with nonsense and more layered with specific responsibility. It was reflected in my balance sheet, yeah, and my dreams. My dreams changed. My dreams changed. Over a period of time, I didn't want what I had always thought was important. I say it again, the things I thought were so incredibly important, they weren't so important anymore. I have come to understand that this is discernment. Discernment. Another gift of the Spirit. Another, there are so many. And that turned out to be a very good thing. My dreams were not so important to me anymore. It turned out to be a very good thing. I Googled discernment, and this is what I got. The ability to judge well. In Christian context, perception in the absence of judgment with a view to obtain spiritual guidance and understanding without providing for a time of healing and discernment, there will be no hope of living through this present moment without a shattering of our common life. Oh, wow. Did that just go by you? Like the first time I read it, I was like, whoa, way too many words. Whoa, 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 slow down there. Whoa, whoa. It's like reading Macbeth. Whoa, how many words can you put in a sentence, right? But what I did get out of discernment, I Googled it, right? Like I said, the ability to judge well. Perception in the absence of judgment. To see something. Guidance and understanding in the absence of judgment. So I can't judge it. I don't even know what's going on. I can't judge it, but it is an ability to judge well when I can't see it, to make a good assessment when I don't have the knowledge, when in no way, shape, or form am I prepared for this, and yet I make a good call. That is discernment, clarity through the Holy Spirit of God so that I stay okay. And then it says, without it, there's no hope of living through the present moment without a shattering of our common life. Look, I just Googled it, man. I couldn't believe it said that. Discernment saves my keister, as they say. Saves my keister, and I can't have it unless I believe in the God in the Bible. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You see, we're on to something now. We're on to something. When you believe in the God of the Bible, you believe in the devil in the Bible. If you believe in the devil in the Bible, you know that you need God. Big time. It's very important to know how dangerous this world is and how Satan moves to destroy you and everything in it. Christ gave me and you redemption, a free pass out of here and into the Lord's mercy and grace. He forgave my sins. I got a lot of sins, kids. I was not living a groovy life. I got a lot of baggage back there, man. He forgave my sins, all of them. even the ones I did today. What? You're still a sinner today? I'm afraid so. I'm a work in progress. I do my best every day, and I still need the Lord and forgiveness for my sins. Then to stay in order, just to stay in order, I got to stay ever vigilant of myself. Those 2-degree adjustments I'm talking about, I got to constantly look at myself because now I have responsibility. I have been given redemption. I have responsibility. I can't stay in order without Christ. Even with Christ, temptation is real. Why? Because I have free will and my mind is a dangerous neighborhood. Am I right? I know you know what I'm talking about. Scripture every day ensures a better business. Well, I read it a couple times last month. I can't do that. I got too much responsibility. I have too much. God has given me so much that without Scripture, I can't stay on the straight and narrow. I can't. It's not possible. I have more responsibility in more places on earth than I could have ever had in my life without Scripture every day. I can't keep my mind in order. Scripture every day ensures a better business and a better hope for tomorrow. But I must believe these things. Sin is real. The world is pretending like it's not. Sin is real. The world is pretending like it's not. 1 John 1, 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What is the world doing today, man? Right is wrong and wrong is right. It's all cool in school. Everything's okay. You know, everybody's right. Everybody's good. It's all this. It's all that. What is yours is mine. What is mine is mine. It's all goofy. Taxes are through the roof. What is going on? We're deceiving ourselves. I am not perfect. However, my life does mean more to me than it ever did. Redemption and the yield depends on me. How much I commit to the Lord and the book. The more I commit, the more my life changes. The more my life changes, I understand more. Period. A lot more is clear and correct. My decisions are better. There are many types of Christians. Look, I see it. What you're seeing is so hard because it's like a train wreck in my mind. The things that I hear, I am a Christian, and then the things that I hear, false doctrine all over the place, all over the place. People kidding themselves about being a Christian. I learned very early on, people can pretend like they believe in God, but they're not living that life. Back in the days of the Old Testament, where did I learn that, by the way? In the book, in the Old Testament, the world of Israel, Judah, Babylon, Assyria, God's people acted like they believed in God, but they truly were worshiping false gods. It's like me going to church on Sunday after a night on the town of drunken debauchery. Not good. Not a good example, but that's an easy one, right? What about lying on the balance sheet, running the numbers in your favor, a second set of books, lying to your spouse, twisting the word of God so it fits whatever lie you want to do in yourself, and then with a shower and a shave, back in church to sing praises to the Lord on Sunday. Not groovy. In the book, people fell away from God, and when they did, discernment fell to the wayside. The Spirit fell away from them. They lost everything. Yeah. The history of Israel, they lost everything. Everything God had given them. They lost it all. Overtaken by armies, taken captive, lost their country. They went off sin, false gods, money, property, prestige, debauchery, as I say, it's the best word ever. That's the best word for that stuff. Scary stuff. God warned them through the prophets to stop living treacherously. I wish that America would listen to the Scripture. I love America. I love mom, dad, apple pie, democracy. In God we trust. I love all that stuff. It's all in jeopardy right now. I wish America would listen to the Scripture. As the Word talked with God's people so long ago, Those words are still masterfully stated today. In the midst of troubles beyond measure, Jeremiah 2, but where are your gods that you have made for yourself? Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. That was before Judah fell. It fell. They had more false gods than they had cities. That's what the word is saying here. And where are they now when you're in the midst of your trouble and armies are taking you over? I wish America could dig this. They used to. America in the past used to dig this. False gods, money, property, prestige, debauchery. No honor, no rules. Everybody is right in their own eyes. That's what happened then. And for you and me, we best see what we have been saved from right now in this time. By accepting Christ, what have you been saved from? Redemption in the Yield, 2023. Basically, I hear a lot of nonsense. And it seems to center around such a notion as this. If there is a heaven, all of us should go there, no matter what we have done. That's a quote, and I put behind it, idiot. Because that's the prevailing thought right now. If there is a heaven, and there is a God, then he should be in love, and he should take us all to heaven. We make up our own version of God when this book tells us what God is like. It says, fear God. Read the book. You will fear God. Read the book. Without Jesus, God the Father was definitely something to fear. We don't have a choice to make a God that we want. Fear God. That's the only one we got. Is that the prevailing thought right now? Well, so is everybody good? No, everybody is not good. For me, it is best I stop considering such things and get back to Scripture. Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. How does Webster's define repentance? To turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. To feel regret or contrition. To change one's mind. That's pretty clear. To repent. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Seriously, tough stuff. I know, it's hard stuff. We all make mistakes, we all sin, we all want more than we deserve. And then we think we deserve it anyway. All of us, myself included, have a hard time with selfish ambition. I get it, I understand. The gospel's hard, it takes forever to understand. And then I realize I don't understand as much as I thought. I get it. The yield of redemption is that I do get it if I stay the course. Sometimes right away, sometimes a little later, but I get better. I understand that the gifts that we have, many of them cannot be replaced. The gifts that we have, many of them cannot be replaced. And none of them are worth risking. None of them are worth gambling. All of them were given to me, a sinner, to help me live my life. In my acceptance of Christ, I am redeemed. And in realizing that my life becomes so much more, and everything in it is for the good. In this context, I am something the Lord can use. And if he can use me, he surely can use you. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Come on. Saved from what? I hear it all the time, right? I hear this voice all the time in all different flavors of the world. I'm just trying to be important. A few million dollars would make me important, right? No, not right. Long story short, I am already important. With or without millions, I am important to God, my Father in heaven. My salvation is important to God. My choices are important to God. My example is important to God. John 15, I think it's verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
That makes it pretty clear to me.
Well, you're saying to me, many people say to me, hey, I know a lot of successful people and they're not believers. Okay, I know them too. And guess what? I like them. They're good people. I pray for them to find the Lord, because when tough times come, God saved me. And I didn't mean, I waited till it was super tough, right? I didn't wait. I had a few challenges. I got that. And I got a few challenges here and there. I got that. By the time I needed God, it was out of control, and so was I. Let me tell you a little something. He called my name and I answered, right? He called my name and I answered. He called my name and I answered, right? Wrong. 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 I called his name and he answered. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Boom. There it is. Boom. Boom. Hey, you're all CEOs here. You want to be wildly successful, right? Live on surf the top of the world, right? There it is, right there. God, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Meaning you can't know them unless you know the God in the Bible. Boom, there it is. I want that. I want that. Jeremiah 33:3, I want that. So do you. My life changed dramatically. Everything in it. I work for a lot of people. Some believers, some not. All I can tell you is what happened to me. What happened to me? Am I the only one? No. All the things I wanted before my relationship with God and the yield of redemption, all of it pales in comparison to what the Lord has brought me in my relationship with him. What the Lord has brought me in a relationship with him. Truly, there is no way to be where I am from where I was without divine intervention. John 10:28. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That's you. No one can snatch you from him. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Redemption in the yield? Are you starting to feel me here, kid? Well, it all sounds redundant to me. Okay. Then you're dead on arrival. There's no pulse inside that skin of yours. The beating heart inside of you isn't working. This stuff is hugely cool. I know a lot of successful people and not so successful people who claim to be believers. Or they don't act like it. I know non-believers who act better than believers, right? I know, it's true. I know non-believers that act better than some of the believers. I say, turn it up a notch and stop playing with your redemption. The yield is in the choices you make with such an awesome gift. Let me introduce you to a guy, Charles Malik. He lived from 1906 to 1967. He was the ambassador to the United Nations from Lebanon and president of the 13th session of the United Nations General Assembly in 1959. He stated, the good in the United States would never have come into being without the blessing and power of Jesus Christ. Whoever tries to conceive the American word without taking full account of the suffering and love and salvation of Christ is only dreaming. I know how embarrassing the mat is to politicians, bureaucrats, businessmen, and cynics. But whatever these honored men think, the irrefutable truth is that American is, at its best and highest, Christian. Whoa! That guy had something to say. Good words. If they are true, and I believe they are, the same God that created the United States of America is the same as the God that has redeemed you. That is a powerful God. What stands against you? The enemy. The enemy is real. The world is against the Lord and your faith. Why? Because the enemy is Satan, and Satan is against everything that God has made. Scripture says it all. 2 Peter 3. First be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days to scoff, living according to their own desires. Kind of what's going on right now, right? All of us can pretend to be followers of God, picking and choosing sort of what works, for instance, purposes regarding our faith. Things don't work so well when misrepresenting your faith. Again, I learned it from people lying about their intentions in the past, from the book. Jeremiah 3:10, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. You see, back in the day, Judah, Israel, they acted like they were, you know, of God because they wanted some insurance. We're for you, we're for you. But they weren't. It said, but in pretense, says the Lord. Fraudulent faith, not cool. Fraudulent faith, not cool. Use your redemption to further what the Lord has brought you, but take care of what you have this very day so that what you have yields first, then proceed in the Lord. Chapter 38, Redemption and the Yield, 2023. What is redemption? God's forgiveness, a free pass to a good life. What is the yield? Forever truth. If you stay the course, live by it. He's got your back. Amen. John, let's put these people back to work, for crying out loud. They got enough information now to take over the world.